Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you.
Hello, my name is Madeline Gatavi, and this is part one of a two-part podcast for CICK News. CICK News is Smithers Community Radio's regional news coverage, which airs on 93.9 FM every Tuesday and Thursday. Today, I'm going to be presenting part one of a series about a request to put up a pro-life flag in downtown Smithers across the street from an existing pride flag. This series is a collection of individual interviews and a panel discussion with community members representing the spectrum of opinions on the topic of representation, inclusion, and civic responsibility by town council when they were presented with this request. The voices you will hear in this series are from the Pro-Life Society, the LGBTQ2I+ community, the medical community, as well as a member of town council. As this issue can divide people, this series aims to connect community members and engage them in thoughtful discourse regarding the divisive matter of representation. So thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm Madeline, and this is The Crosswalk. Our first speaker is going to be River Wild. So River, I've already had the opportunity to get to know you, but if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself again for us.
So River Wild, and I always find it interesting introducing myself because how you introduce yourself has so many... It's politics of how you even you're introducing yourself, so I always feel so much pressure. So I guess to be, I'll go with a registered social worker, a burlesque performer, queer, identifying, non-binary, northerner, settler, with a bit of the autism. We've got a bit of the spice, so a bit of autism, and an advocate, community person, artist.
I'm also going to be speaking with Frank Ray. So Frank, if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself for us.
Yeah, I'm Frank Ray. I'm a councillor on the town of Smithers Town Council. Goes back a ways, but we had approved a rainbow crosswalk. Right. And recently somebody came asking for a pro-life crosswalk on Main Street.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, I'll be speaking with Betty Banstra. Betty, could you please go ahead and introduce yourself for us?
Okay. My name is Betty Banstra. I moved to Smithers 44 years ago with my sister, and I came here to teach French at Bulkley Valley Christian School. Within a year, I met my husband, Mark Banstra. We got married, and we have been married now for 43 years, and I am a Christian, and that impacts my worldview, obviously. Every single human being has human rights because God made them as a human being.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where the human rights come from. So our perspective then is regardless of the age
or stage,
of a human being, you have value and you should not be killed.
And if you wouldn't mind also just sharing how you're connected to this conversation around the pro-life crosswalk and also in how it stemmed from the council's response to a petition against drag story time.
Okay. Well, as you just alluded to, the Beauville Square was going to be rented by Pride Group and they were going to bring drag queens in.
So for myself, I guess it came about being involved with Pride this year. I was the drag king whose performance was the one that petition had been created around.
Right.
And there had been a pray-in as well as some pamphlets being handed out in the community and some postering that was discouraging for me as a performer. But in that, some discussions came about, which I got really excited about. And that is partly why I had put forward the drag performance, was with the hope of creating some sort of dialogue, whether within the ally community or within a community that had maybe some concerns towards the queerness that's happening in Smithers and area.
There was a large contingent of people who went to the town council requesting that they not do that. And there was also a petition of over 800 signatures. So I attended the meeting, the town council meeting, and heard the councillors respond to that. And many of them said that they were promoting this town as an all-inclusive town,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's voice was welcome, and they weren't going to pick and choose which voice was going to be heard above another voice. So I should back up and just mention that I am the chairperson of the pro-life board, and the pro-life board represents the society.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it in mind to ask for the pro-life flag to be flown, but then, and we were going to ask in the fall, you know, but when we heard their responses to this request about the Beauville Square thing, then we thought, well, actually, they're saying that all our voices are welcome, so this really is the time to ask that our pro-life flag also be flown,
right,
and or painted on the sidewalk. So then it was actually another board member of ours, Jessica Vandergeek, who contacted me and said, you know, really, this is a good time to do this. And she had already written down some ideas of a letter. And I agreed with her. I said, perfect. So then we put our heads together, basically, and we got ourselves on as a delegation to make this request. At the next meeting, then they gave us the response.
So when that request for the pro-life crosswalk came out, were you for or against that crosswalk being enacted?
I was against.
Okay. Yeah. And then if you wouldn't mind just delving a little bit more into it, I'm really interested in your perspective as well, because I know that you were one of the few councillors who voted against both crosswalks.
Yeah. So originally I voted against the rainbow crosswalk, not because I don't agree with the sentiment. There were two problems that I saw. One was cost, that paint is quite expensive. And the other was that during my time on council, up until then, we had always said no to requests, because the problem with saying yes to requests is that eventually you're going to get a request that you're going to have to say no to.
I think if you look at the facts of what went down, you have to say that there was a real obvious bias in favor of having drag queen pride flag. But the minute a different point of view, a different request, perspective, cause, ideology, whatever you want to call it, came and had their request, then all of a sudden, I mean, they couldn't backpedal fast enough to get off this train.
I was supportive of the crosswalk being placed. I wouldn't necessarily support it in beside the Pride sidewalk. I find that would be, it creates a tension that I think would not benefit either community.
And I think that whole idea of like an unwanted parallel, it was kind of became more apparent in the request for the crosswalk.
Yeah,
I guess I remember in the language of the request there was a lot of comparison. It's hard not to make when you're getting the same thing, but it was interesting that like ideologically created this idea of like, oh well, if one ideology or one supposedly political view, even though it is just a right, is being validated by the town, then why can't we also validate it?
For myself, I guess where I see some of the differences is, to me, again, I can only speak for my own kind of interpretation. To me, the pride flag, or the, you know, the symbolicness of it, is this understanding of all-encompassing, of all existences, of being. And so within that, there can even be people that are going to be pro-life. Like, being queer does not negate you being religious. It does not negate you having other political ideologies of each other, and can be very compatible with perhaps the pro-life movement. So again, pairing things together that might have no conflict, it also kind of distracted, and I felt bad that the message could get muddy like that. And then the other thing for me is, to me, pride flag, while I know it does feel intrusive to some, the idea behind it is the symbolicness of everybody. So this rights for everybody, where to me, the pro-life one appears to be taking away rights of individuals.
Yes, and they did phrase it as a symbol of inclusion for the preborn.
Yeah.
And yeah, abortion and all everything that surrounds that is something that some people feel is already settled, some people don't. But it's something that people don't seem to have a rational conversation mm-hmm. about. I felt awful. I spoke last.
Yeah.
Because everybody had a fairly emotional response to the heart of the issue. At the heart of things was mm-hmm. was abortion and abortion rights.
Right.
And several counselors had personal anecdotes, and it felt very uncaring and kind for me to just go straight to the pragmatic part of it. So I kind of tried to stick to the heart of the matter, and that's not, and I don't think it's not a, I'm not upset about anybody doing it.
Right.
I think when people have space on the floor to say things, they need to say what is important to them. And so, but I, you know, I felt a little bit callous in a way, but at the end of the day, we do have to make a decision when yeah. we're asked for something like that.
The reason I was interested in putting this together is because I didn't like the idea that something that should be a conversation was leaning towards a conflict structure. That when you have these things like council meetings where you have limited time, limited space, and it's so, people have different roles, they have to, you know, like you're a counselor, so you have to speak, you can be quite articulate what you say, and then if someone's a delegate or if someone wants to speak to an item on the agenda, they have a certain for which they can speak, you know, and it's like, I feel like that makes it difficult to kind of create a sense of humor.
With the format. So if you're speaking to something on the agenda, you have 3 minutes, which for some things is more than enough. For others, especially if you're recounting personal trauma, or just this, there was a petition to cancel the drag queen. A lot of people said some very personal things. And council's role is to just listen.
Yeah.
So it could feel very easily feel like just staring in space.
Yeah.
We're listening intently. We can't even really, you know, aside from the odd, you really can't express much empathy for yeah. what's being said. But at the council table, it's like, okay, are you repeating yourself? Because we don't have time for that. We need, you know, is it something new? Otherwise, yeah. we're going to move on to the vote. And as the chair, you have to do that.
Yeah. No, it's difficult. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I wish there was more of like a regular opportunity for people to be able to reach these situations where they're being pitted against each other. And there's this kind of like insinuation that there should be able to have the space and time to see what any of the kind of limiting. I think it has to be something that people are able to see like a deeper sense of vulnerability and to see like a values-oriented sense of it. It's something you can't externally notice, but once you have a deep enough conversation, once you give one another the time, space and respect that you're owed, then you sense of like, okay, well, you know, completely polar opposite from the outside. When you see things that are underlying them, typically it's similar feelings of like, okay, I want security for my family and myself. I want to feel safe in the community space. Like they're all really similar underlying currents, you know?
Well, and I think that's the root of political arguments where people just vilify the other side, is it's very easy to do when you don't the person.
Yeah.
Or you don't know any people a different group.
It is a worldview that is not popular right now. Mm-hmm. So we are not, our perspective right now is not politically correct, if you can put it that way.
Yeah.
And then you can come up with all kinds of smoke and mirrors to cover up what really is a bias against
what is not politically correct.
Right. Yes. So of course you don't want to just come out now and say that. So then, you know, you come up with other subtleties and statements and, you know,
it's a challenging kind of political landscape, I think, because it's I don't think it's been that long that we've had this sense of right and wrong about politics. You know, I think it was always something where people came into it with diverse perspectives, with disagreements, like 100%. But it wasn't so much something that the greater society or like the society, especially, I don't know if you're familiar with the way that like social media has kind of taken over a lot of political discourse, but a society that has the ability to kind of see certain perspectives such as that of the pro-life society and kind of disseminate those based on a greater public without necessarily considering the deeper values in place or the deeper, or like honestly just like the personal stories coming into it. Like I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to hear a human perspective of pro-life, because all I hear is people's politically correct perspectives of movement, you know, and it's challenging and frustrating, I think, to have, because you have this massive kind of population. With society, you have 600 members within a community of Smithers. That's massive, mm-hmm. You know, like, and then it's just, I get frustrated, like, externally, you know, so I can see how it would be really difficult to be part of this community that's not being taken seriously on a political scale.
Yeah, I mean, there's a variety of reasons why we are where we're at in our culture at this time. I don't think social media has helped, actually, because not that I'm a wizard about computers or anything, but my understanding of it is, you know, the way algorithms work, that if you look at some things, then the, you know, in the dashboard behind the scenes, they're like, oh, this person likes this sort of information.
We'll give them
and
more.
Then they give you more of that. So what you end up doing is you create silos, and then you've got these little silos of people all thinking the same, but they're not talking to each other. They're not communicating.
To me, I see those conflict areas, and that's where I'm sitting. Like, I'm not sitting with the ones where it seems like everything's great, you know, where it's just like, oh, that makes sense. Of course, you know, like, as I feel like the life is so complex. And when we start to try to oversimplify, it becomes problematic. Mm-hmm. And because of the oversimplification, that when you're like black and white, again, this is why the queer community, I love in the queer community, is this idea of that black and white is constantly being pushed back against, like that idea of like, well,
do we need to do one thing again?
You know, why is that important? What are we trying to accomplish? And that's where I wonder, like, are we in, if we were to go with pro-life and make abortions illegal, are we truly accomplishing what we're hoping to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Like, are we saving lives? You know, if for whatever reason, magically, people aren't doing them, you know, with horrible ways at home, you know, and causing themselves more harm. But again, so say that isn't existing. Say people are not self-harming.
People just don't have abortions.
They just don't have abortions. Are we actually achieving the quality of life and love that we think we're offering to that entity of life? Like, what are we giving that child? What guarantee are you giving this potential child's life? Like, are you there to make sure that that child is cared for the rest of its life? Because if you're fighting to bring it into this life, I think some of your responsibility then lies on making sure that that is being taken care of for the rest of their life. And unfortunately, I don't see that. I see more with the pro-life, I see more restrictions on social services, and then plus doing this. So I'm just like, ooh, what's happening? Wait, where's the safety net? Where's that societal safety net? Like, if we're going to do this, let's talk it through. What is that actually going to look like?
I mean, one of the things that we do try to do, we have a care center here in Smithers. We do try to provide support that way. There's also the Pregnancy Outreach Program, which is a program in town that also supports women who are pregnant. So
would either of those, like, programs allow for abortion to be one of the options, or is that not on, like, the wavelength of those?
I can't speak for the Pregnancy Outreach Program. But for our Smithers Crisis Pregnancy Care Center, we are not a medical facility, so that isn't anything that we can offer. But what we definitely try to do is offer an understanding of all of your choices and the consequences of all of those choices. It is not our job to hit someone over the head and say, you know, this is how you must make a decision, obviously,
it's
right? But if
given.
You give good information to everyone, what we would really like to see is if everyone who is pregnant, if they would actually get an ultrasound. Because then you, that's truly informed consent, okay? Mm-hmm. If you truly know the development of your child when you were intending to have an abortion, and if you see that and then you still want to go through with that, then that is informed consent. My frustration is that many are actually not making truly informed. Frequently, women make the decision to abort their child because they have been coerced by someone else, often the father of the child. And yeah, so then to say that they are choosing to have an abortion, that's not true at all. They are being coerced. Sometimes it's coercion by their parents because they feel that they'll be like socially embarrassed that their child is expecting, which you would kind of hope that that wouldn't be the case so much anymore, but that still happens. There are actually a small percentage of women who actually choose to have the abortion because it's their choice.
Right.
Okay. So that's the next thing I think that really should be addressed. I mean, hello, men folk. You are 50% of this.
Yeah.
Step up.
Right.
You know, if you were man enough to get the girl pregnant, now let's be man enough and support her and support the child.
Right.
Otherwise, I think you should not even be having sex. If you're not going to be willing to do the next step that follows. I mean, it's no surprise that a man and a woman who engage in sexual activity, there's the possibility that you could have a baby out of this. That's biology.
No, but I mean, I'd be interested in what you'd think about the women, like the very small percentage that you're speaking about, who would make that decision to abort. Like, if they have this idea of informed consent, if they've gotten the ultrasound, if they're not being coerced, would you be sort of opposed to that decision? Like, I mean, obviously you wouldn't want them to make that decision, but would you want it to be, like, not a choice for those people? Or would you still respect that decision, even if it's distinct from your own worldview?
Well, yeah. I mean, because we live in a democracy,
right?
I mean, we live in a democracy. I just said earlier, you may have your views and opinions and I have mine.
Okay.
And if in the final analysis you choose to do something that you feel is right for you at that time, I can express my opinion about it.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's still you.
Yeah.
Who makes that decision. I would feel very badly for you. It would break my heart, but in the end, it's still
it's
you
who
makes that decision, and you have to live with that decision.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I don't know if you're aware, but in Canada right now, we do not have any laws that regulate abortion.
Yeah. And I think that is where a lot of this fear and tension comes from, is this idea that, like, pro-life means anti-choice, which it doesn't necessarily. Like,
no, part of what we would like to see is that our government finally step up and make a law that regulates abortion, because we don't have a law right now.
So what would that look like? By saying regulation, do you mean, like, you don't mean, like, all the way to regulate it. Like, you don't mean, like, there's no option for abortion. You just mean, like, it needs to be done in a certain way. It needs to be done in a different way. Because I think when we get to the basis of legality, that's when I see a lot of political climates getting quite tense, because then it's like, okay, well, then if you're someone who makes that decision to have an abortion, that is, like, your separate decision, and then it's not available, I feel like that's when people get quite nervous.
That isn't the objective. The objective is to get a law in with some gestational limits. I mean, there was an attempt, this was a number of years ago, and it was called Molly's Law. The person was going to be charged who had assaulted.
Right.
And actually, I think in that case, the person also killed the mother of the child. So they wanted to take it to court and have two charges,
yeah,
right? One for the mom and one for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And they could only do one. And it was at that point that they were like horrified. And they kind of had their eyes open to the Canadian situation. And so mm-hmm. they, you know, started knocking on Parliament door. And there was Kathy Wagenthal, who said, I'll take up your cause. And she introduced a bill, and they called it Molly's Bill because the baby had already been named Molly.
So what was the aim of the bill?
The aim of the bill was to grant protection to, so this was how it was.
Yeah.
If the mom wanted to keep the child.
So if she'd already made that decision.
Yes. If she had already made that decision, then there would be protection for that child, those children. So
that
anyone.
Makes sense. Yeah. That's nothing like an abortion law as well.
Guess what? It was defeated. Why? Because your abortion foaming at the mouth types were furious with this because they said this is going to prevent us from having abortions if we want them.
But that's not
what the bill was. There was no prevention of abortion. It was only for protecting the child that the mom wanted.
Molly's Law, or Bill C-225, is summarized as such. Cassandra Cake was 7 months pregnant at the time of her murder in 2014, and her choice to have a much-wanted baby, who she named Molly, was taken away by her killer. Some months after Cassie's murder, in December of 2014, her grieving partner, family, and friends began a campaign to have her fetus legally recognized as a separate victim of crime, feeling that Molly's death was unjustly ignored. The resulting bill is called BC-225, introduced on February 23rd of 2016 by Conservative MP Kathy Wagenhall. It creates separate offenses for injuring or killing a fetus while committing an offense against a pregnant woman, and it's nearly identical to a previous bill that was not passed from 2007 and 8, called Bill C-484.
I mm-hmm. love the idea of protecting life like that. I love that. At what cost and to whose life is where I really would like those discussions to sit. I want to see those fleshed out more. I want to have a better understanding of how will we care?
Yeah.
And how can we show that care, prolonged care, instead of just this kind of immediate don't.
Yeah.
Like, it seems that's great. That seems really simple. Don't. But life is so complex. The human body is so complex. Birth and pregnancy is so complex. There are so many things that are involved that can go wrong and that are involved. And to eliminate medical procedures that can save lives, I just, and improve the quality of people's lives, it just hurts me. I have a hard time truly grasping how we're cherishing life while causing misery and pain.
Okay, so that concludes the first part of our series. Stay tuned for part two this week on Smithers Radio, and listen again at smithersradio.com under CICK News Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. This piece was hosted and produced by Madeline Gatavi for CICQ News. Most importantly, a huge thank you goes out to our guests, Betty Banstra, River Wild, and Frank Ray, for their openness and authenticity in taking the time to do this.
Listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKNews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CSCK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.